Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang. This week, let's talk about a simple and basic step every woman should take on her fertility journey, and that's charting your cycle. It can be as simple or as complex as you need it to be, but knowing what's happening in your body right now is a game changer.
So let me start by saying that as a naturopathic physician, I am so thankful for and will often prescribe pregnancy prevention medication, aka birth control or hormonal contraception. And I am also thankful for and prescribe hormone replacement therapy for people who need it, including, but not limited to, premature ovarian insufficiency and perimenopause, menopause. And also taking hormones is necessary for IVF. So I am not anti-hormone. I am not pregnancy prevention with the pill. I love all those things and I'm so thankful for them. Oh, however, when you get to the phase of wanting to try to conceive, you're going to be getting off the pill and you're going to want to check in and see if you are ovulating or not, because we cannot conceive without medication if we're not ovulating.
Right.
So with all of that being said, I find cycle charting helpful in the preconception and fertility journey. So, cycle charting can be as simple as noting the first day of each new menstrual period plus the number of days of menstrual bleeding. This is normally called the rhythm method, and I don't really use that because it's not an effective way to know when you are ovulating, and therefore it's not an effective form of a way to try to get pregnant or pregnancy prevention. I do, however, teach women how to use the fertility awareness method, which is a more in-depth form of cycle charting. And the cycle charting that I use in the preconception phase is this in-depth method, which includes noting daily oral basal body temperatures, as well as cervical fluid changes in an appropriate paper chart or charting app. So that's what I use. Charting our menstrual cycles is a way to be more in tune with our bodies and the symptoms associated with our menstrual cycles. It's also a way to pinpoint hormonally related symptoms. So you can see, oh, every month I'm getting a headache the day before ovulation, or every month I'm getting a headache the day before my period starts, or every month I'm extremely moody and want to get a divorce the 5 days before my period starts. And these are real things that women report.
These are real things.
Especially if you have like PMDD, for example.
Oh, totally. Well, and I want to add too that, you know, cycle charting in its simplest form, it doesn't have to be about fertility, right? Like this can be just about knowing what's going on in your body at any given day of the month, because there are a lot of changes that happen regularly. And so I've seen things that aren't conventionally associated with cycles really, really happen at particular parts of the cycle, especially anxiety. I mean, anxiety is very, very hormone sensitive. Depression can be, but also things like inflammation, joint pain. Obviously, the migraines is a huge one. And then, you know, more conventional symptoms like cramping, but also cramping isn't the same in every woman, or ovulatory pain. If you don't know it's ovulatory pain, it can be kind of a scary pain.
Absolutely.
And
or
it can
ovulatory look really spotting that you didn't know you were spotting because you're ovulating.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, it really does help to be keyed into your cycle a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And interruption done. Okay.
Great interruption. I loved it. So charting our menstrual cycles, like you said, is a way to be more in tune with our bodies. And this method also lets a couple know their most fertile window within each given cycle. So if you want to learn more about this or learn about it in depth, my recommendation is to buy and read Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Weschler, MPH, and to buy an oral basal thermometer. Those are the two steps you need to take. But what it really entails is every morning when you wake up, before you get out of bed, you have a thermometer by your bed. Before you pee, before you get up, before you have coffee, you put that thermometer in your mouth, you take your temperature, and you note the temperature down. If you have an app that you're using, you can put it in the app. If you have a paper chart, which is now what I'm recommending in the US, and we'll go over that later, then you put it on your paper chart. And then you also note the fluid in your panties every day. So women's cervical fluid, the fluid in our panties changes every single day, and it's totally normal. And it's a part of being a person with hormones that are circulating, making those things happen. So we'll have our, we'll bleed. And then after we bleed, we'll have a new kind of fluid in our panties. And that may be dry. It may be kind of like the white of an egg white. It can be creamy or lotiony. And you'll note your cervical fluid changes every day as well. And as a woman is ramping up toward ovulation because of the hormonal changes, including increased estrogen, estradiol, she will start to have egg white cervical fluid. There are other reasons women can have egg white cervical fluid, which is why I recommend getting someone to support you when you're learning to change. But normally the sign that you're about to ovulate and you're in your fertile window is that your temperatures are staying at a nice, consistent level. You get this egg white cervical fluid. Those are the days you have unprotected sex, and then your temperature will rise. And that's because you have now released the egg and the corpus luteum is making the progesterone, which is thermogenic and increasing your basal body temperature. Once you've had that rise of temperature and you've had it for 4 days consistently within the fertility awareness method, that means you are no longer fertile and it's not time to try anymore. So you will actively try to conceive in those egg white cervical fluid days prior to ovulation, and then one day after ovulation, just for the cherry on top, because you still might be a little fertile.
And for the fun of it. Come on, guys.
For the fun of it. Yeah, exactly. Especially if you haven't been trying for months and months and months and months.
Enjoy the journey. Fun. Yeah.
And then that's how I'll use it to help time intercourse for pregnancy.
Absolutely. Yeah. That totally makes sense. So is there any time you recommend like simple versus more in-depth charting?
Since we're talking about fertility and preconception, I am almost always recommending the fertility awareness method, the in-depth charting for preconception and fertility. However, of note, some women with OCD or anxiety find detailed charting extremely stressful, and I would not push it, and I check in with women. I want to make sure that it feels supportive and empowering, not overwhelming and stressful and another detailed task-oriented thing to do.
Right.
So especially with women with mood disorders, I will check in on charting before we even start. Or a history of eating disorders, I'll check in then too, just because sometimes over-monitoring your body is not good for everybody. And then I'll just simply ask them to note the first day of each new period and how many days they're bleeding.
Right.
Also, some women with depression aren't able to keep up with deep detailed charting, mm-hmm. and I don't want them to be feeling bad about themselves. So there are always caveats. So essentially, I don't recommend charting if it's stress-inducing, and we'll just do the simple method of note the first day of your period so we can see if they're having 28-day cycles or 22-day cycles or 40-day cycles. But if a woman is capable, then I am recommending fertility awareness method in the preconception and fertility journey.
I think that's great. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And what about, do you recommend any particular period tracker apps?
I used to love and always recommend using an app. And one of my favorites is Kindara, K-I-N-D-A-R-A. I find it very easy to read and very user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What do you use?
I use one called Stardust that I think is hilarious. Like, it makes me laugh almost every day, which I find really, really pleasing about a period tracker, because there's not so much to laugh about usually with period trackers. So right. It's joyful, right? Like little pieces nice. Of pizza float across the screen, and they give you these messages every day, like who's craving pasta, which, you know, usually I'm like, oh yeah, me.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a happy one, but it also keeps very detailed information and has a really great graphic every day showing your hormone levels relative to what should be happening in your cycle, which I love.
Cool. I love that. Yeah. So Kindara charts your cycle for you in a little graph. And then it also has a place below to note other symptoms like we were talking about before. So bloating or headaches or anxiety or whatever symptoms are bothering you, you can note them in your chart, and then you can see where they line up with different phases of your cycle. Because of the political climate in the US and the devastating reversal of Roe v. Wade for women's healthcare, I don't think using these charting apps is as safe as it used to be for people with the capacity for pregnancy, especially if you're not wanting to conceive. But also, every woman is at risk of miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there are issues of privacy and possibly of selling our data. So at this time in the US, I am going back to recommending paper charting. And in the back of that book that I recommended, Taking Charge of Your Fertility, she actually has a place to be able to print out paper charts so you can chart them in the privacy of your own home. Yep. So in that 4 to 6 month preconception window, when you're doing all those doctor's visits and starting your supplement plan and getting yourself all checked in and checked up, charting your cycles is another way to tune in with your body and see how everything is going. And it's really good news if you see that you're ovulating at about the same cycle day every month. That means that when you're ready to try to conceive, that's just another check. Things are looking good. And if not, you can reach out for help sooner. You're not just now waiting. You go, oh, I'm not ovulating. Or 1 month I ovulated on day 7, and then another month I ovulated on day 22. That gives you a lot of information to communicate with your care provider.
Yes, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. You know, and honestly, cycle charting at maybe a more basic level is something that I recommend to every woman. It just really does help to demystify a lot of what goes on with your health, with your life, with your mood, with your feelings, with the whole shebang.
Kate and I busted time today because, let's face it, we like to talk. Please watch the video version in the show notes. See more of Dr. Kate at namesnd.com. That's namesnd.com. Or visit tohealthwiththat.com for myself, Dr. Amy. See you next week.